Oh gosh, I was gonna ask you something else.
Yeah, please.
What was it, Rob?
My one of my favorite one of my favorite things, like favorite shows I ever got to do. I opened for Wayne Brady one time at the Fox Theater in Detroit.
Okay.
So it was already cool to kind of be in my hometown, but playing the Fox was huge. I think it holds like 5,500 or something like that. It was huge. And then I'm working with Wayne Brady too, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And he was a jerk to me the first time I worked with him. He was so, like, I asked him if I could get a picture with him, and he was like, ugh, okay, come on. And I think he was like, he didn't enjoy his show that night or something. But then I ended up working with him again. He was super nice. So I'm like, everybody's entitled to have a bad night, you know?
Yeah.
But that was awesome. My favorite comedian is Brian Regan.
Okay.
And do you know who he is?
Mm-mm.
Oh my God. He's like most comics would say he's their favorite. Like he's a comic. Everybody loves him.
I'm gonna have to look him up.
Yeah, he's done more Lettermans than any. I think he's done 28 Lettermans.
Okay.
But he's phenomenal, and he's squeaky clean, and he's very much a character on stage. It's always this kind of dumb guy character, but I don't know what it is. I've met so many celebrities, but with him, I'm like a little girl. I can't stop myself. I just start saying stupid things. Like I saw him the other night in New York, and he sat next to me. I kind of know him now because his brother does stand up too, Dennis Regan. And he sat next to me, and I just looked at him, and I said, I love you. I was like, that wasn't creepy at all. That was so stupid.
Notice me.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about him, but I just like him. I just respect him so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I do have another question.
There's so many comics out there that people don't know that are phenomenal. And it's because we can't get like TV or something. And that's the way people see comics now is all the media and stuff. I mean, you can post away on YouTube and stuff, but unless people start promoting you or something, it's tough.
So here we are.
Yeah. So you're in Omaha.
Here we are.
Right?
Okay.
I actually love it here. I did a bunch on my newest DVD. There's a bunch of sketches because I like sketch, so I was an improv. So I did a bunch of sketches. I did one at the what's the castle called here?
Oh, Jocelyn Castle.
I rented a knight's costume at some costume rental place here.
Yeah.
And Heather, the local comedian here, acted like she worked there, and I just ran up and I'm like acting like I'm overtaking the castle and stuff. We did a bunch of goofy sketches around there. And then what else did I do? I got Tom Tyler here. But I know I shot another sketch in Omaha because I love it here, and there's a bunch of cool things around the city to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. What were you going to ask? I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Oh, it's totally not related, so I'll get back to
it. Okay, go ahead then.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's just about, Amy Schumer's been under, like, a lot of fire lately for stealing jokes.
Yeah.
But if you look at, like, the transcripts, they're not really the same.
Everybody's
going to.
How do you feel about that? Once you're up there, everybody's gunning to bring you right back down. I was managed by the same guy who managed Dane Cook when Dane was going through all that problem. Mm-hmm. Like they were saying he was stealing jokes and then from Louis C.K. And then Louis C.K. brought him on his show. I don't know if you ever saw that on FX. Like they did a whole.
Louis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Louis brought Dane on his show and they talked about it. And the joke was, can we cuss on here or no? Well, the joke was about an itchy butt, basically.
Okay.
And Dane was like, you think you're the only one with an itchy butt? Like they went off.
Dude, I've seen that.
Remember that? That was what the whole joke was. And the jokes were like parallel, but they weren't the same. They were from their both own perspectives and stuff. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to say things. And especially if you're doing good and to me, that's a good sign. You must be doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's always going to be haters, you know, they don't want to see you succeed. But I'm sure she's got way more fans so excited for her and what she's doing.
Yeah, definitely.
I just hung out with her the other night, like 2 weeks ago, her and Judd Apatow at the Comedy Cellar in New York.
Oh, they're working on a movie, aren't they?
Yeah.
With Jennifer Lawrence, is that right?
Yes, I think it. That might have even been
along.
Done. I think it might be done. I'm not sure.
Is it?
I'm not sure. But yeah, they are.
I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
I'm excited to see Jennifer Lawrence branch out. I've always thought she's funny outside.
Yeah.
She's a great actress, obviously. She'll always get gigs doing that. But I'm excited to see her comedic side,
obviously.
Did you love Trainwreck?
I did. Well, I love Trainwreck for the actual drama part where she was taking care of her dad, and because that was so much what I was going through.
Colin Quinn killed it.
Yeah, I loved it. It's funny because it's only really funny in the first act, basically. Mm-hmm. The last two acts, like, it ends up getting super serious.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where it really just hit me because I was like, that's my life. That's exactly what I'm going through, too. And so
it's pretty hard. I loved
it. I thought it was
a
great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of comics move into drama as well. Did you ever see The Skeleton Twins with Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader?
No,
that
I didn't see that.
That was crazy dramatic. Not what I expected when I rented it.
Yeah. The only comic I think that was really good with dramatic was Robin Williams. I thought he could go super funny or be super dramatic also.
Mm-hmm. Is he one of your inspirations too?
No, but it's weird because sometimes I get the people that compare me, like, you'll get compared once you start doing it.
Yeah.
People are going to be like, oh, she obviously loves Amy Schumer. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be that. And when I started, it was obviously Chris Farley. I was super hyper.
Honestly, the first thing I Googled, it was like, bold Chris Farley?
Yeah.
I'm like, well.
Exactly. And I loved him, so I was emulating him, basically. And you'll start to, like, ease into who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I'm on stage, I'd never get Farley anymore. I used to hear it every show, and now I'm just being me up there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because older folks will say I'm like Don Rickles because I mess with a lot of people in the crowd. But he always did it. Like, you're pretty young, so you probably don't even know who he is. But me and you. Come on, bro. But she's 22. Do you know
He's
who
not
he is?
Calling you old.
Do you know Don Rickles?
No.
See, you should look into some of these classic comics, too. Because
I'm going to have to.
They're the ones that paved the way for us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, the king of messing with people in the crowd.
He would backhand you.
Yeah, but you'd love it. You would love to be. It's kind of like Daniel Tosh, too.
Yeah, I freaking
Tosh
love
is good
Tosh.
At that too, and that's how I am. But I do it more. I'm even more sillier about it. But people, it gets to the point where you're like, "Oh my God, I was the person he messed with in the show."
Yeah.
That's how it feels like.
Yeah, and even in some of your specials, you'll say like something like kind of. It's not racist, but it's something that like. And you're like, oh, it's fine. The one black guy here laughed.
Right.
It's totally fine.
Yeah.
And you know
I've never had anybody get upset about anything, like if I'm, you know, riding the race line or any of that kind of stuff.
That's kind of amazing for a comic, though, isn't it?
It is tough to do. But I think I do it with a smile. So they're just like, he's goofy.
Yeah.
We don't got to worry about. He's not non-threatening, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas Rickles was kind of threatening, but you'd still love it. And then Tosh is even more like sarcastic about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know how we got on that subject, but we were talking about class. How I get compared. So older people will kind of compare me to Rickles, but then, you know, younger people will say Farley or who's the other one I get a lot? I can't even remember now. I don't remember. Oh, it's who I look like a lot. I always get the guy from Pawn Stars.
Oh, my God.
Rick from any bald guy I get.
Yeah, really, honestly.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's too funny. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
This is fun. I'm having a good time. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are cool,
I'm
man.
I'm running out of questions.
You
so
are?
For
somebody that's trying to get into comedy and you're running
true.
Out of questions.
I'm running out of non-selfish questions.
What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. Well, you got somebody to ask. I mean, you
That's
should be
true.
Asking.
That's so true. Honestly, Noah, our general manager, Noah Sullinger, is right here producing this for us. Thank you for sitting through
this.
Yeah,
both. You got two guys here.
Really appreciate it, honestly. And you're doing such a great job as general manager. let's see. Who else? I want to talk about specific comics now. Have you ever met Daniel
here,
Tosh in real life?
Oh, yeah. I was on Tosh.
Is he like that, or is that his character? You were on Tosh?
Yeah, I did a couple of sketches when I lived out there.
Which ones?
They were, like, all fat guy things, like he would make me do. Yeah. Well, I've lost 65 pounds now, so I'm not. They don't use me for that. Thank you.
That's not easy
P90X.
At all.
P90X. Yeah, it's not easy.
How are you doing that on the road?
It's easy with P90X. You just put it on your computer, and you don't need, like, you don't have to use weights. I mean, but if there's a gym in the hotel, yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
That's another thing. When here's once you progress and you're starting to get better with stand-up and you start to travel, you'll start working all these just crappy clubs because that's what you got to work.
Yeah.
You got to do it because it's just that's what will book you at first, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The pay sucks. And then they put you in these things. They call them comedy condos. And they don't put you in hotels a lot. So you're basically staying in this like apartment that the club owns. And every week, all three comics will stay in that apartment.
and you're like sleeping on your stuff.
It's usually super gross. And there's a couple clubs out there that have really nice ones, but boy, you want the hotel over that any day. But it's gonna happen. You'll end up doing it.
Ugh,
yeah.
I'm excited for that.
You don't want to know who was there the week before you. Don't ever ask. Like, who was your last week?
So what are you doing now? Do you have it's because you're going to New York.
Yeah,
next,
I'm there.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're living there, but you're performing there next.
Just hammering the clubs. I'm working on a new. I worked on the show. I'm gonna turn it into a YouTube show because when I was in LA, I really like history. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said I was doing some stuff around Omaha. It's got some cool history. I made this show called Here's a Little History with Rob Little. And I would go around, we learned some cool history, and then I would reenact them. Mm-hmm. But it was always like the goofy kind of side history, not the main topics, you know?
Right.
And I had Regis Philbin producing this. This was going to be a show. We had 7 networks into it, but they all wanted it shot a different way, tailored to their network,
mm-hmm.
which, okay, I buy the show and we'll do that.
Yeah.
But they, when you bring a topic to like a network, you have to pay to go back and reshoot everything. And I already spent like 10 grand on shooting all this stuff. And I was like, I ain't got the money to go back and redo something for each. That's 7 different networks. They all wanted something a little different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Regis's company said, don't worry. We'll keep it. And if any of them want to get it, we'll eventually do it. But if not, they shelve it, is what they call it.
Yeah.
I'm like, screw it. I'm going to turn it into like a YouTube show and I'll just do it on the road and go and do it on my own. And
absolutely.
Maybe if I start doing it and maybe get a following on that, maybe something. Because that's how Drunk History started.
I was going to ask
it. It was just a YouTube
that.
Show and, mm-hmm. and then he turned it.
And they do a great job.
Yeah, they're so funny.
They're on Comedy Central, right?
Yep.
So that probably is. I would be worried because I think I read about that. Like the History Channel wanted it. Were you kind of worried that there would be so many hands in the pot that it wouldn't really be yours anymore?
I don't care.
Really?
I just wanted to be a part of something.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be on it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care. I didn't care if I was going to be the host anymore. Let me be the creator and writer on it with, mm-hmm. you know, just be a part of it. You got to get your foot in the door somehow.
Yeah.
And mine was a comedy and educational one, which they really liked because not only are you learning stuff, I'm not making fun of history. I'm making history fun is what I was doing. So
nice.
Yeah.
So comedy ever falls through or you get sick of it, history teacher?
No, I'm not that. I'm not that into it. And then comedy is not going to happen. Here's the other show I just pitched too. I'm an ordained minister. I got ordained to do. I've done a few comics weddings.
Okay.
So I come up with a show where it's called I Do Unique Weddings.
Okay.
And so it's like anybody that wants to get married in a weird way. So if you're like we already had like a bunch of couples. One was going to do a nudist one. One was going to do an underwater. There was going to be a Harry Potter themed one. And I'd dress up like Dingledorf or whatever his name is. And then whatever. And then basically do the wedding in that theme, whatever they want.
Yeah.
And you learn about the couples and stuff. And I thought that'd be a fun show to watch, you know, because all those wedding shows are usually just for women, but I think guys would like to see whatever that train wreck's going to be too, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh my God, you got to watch this one.
So did that's you pitch another one. You pitched it?
I need to make a sizzle reel is what they call it.
Oh.
And it's like a sample of what the show, but that means you have to do somebody's wedding.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people are up for that, you know, unless maybe you're.
Unless it gets picked up, you mean?
Well, yeah. Well, that, but you got to pay for all that stuff. Like, let's say you want to do a Harry Potter theme. Then we're going to do it like a Quidditch game or whatever. We're like, well, how we got to set it up. And so that takes money.
Yeah, a lot, I'm assuming. Especially if you
want
to do
And I don't want
like
it
underwater.
To be my money. So I want it.
So.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do a Kickstarter.
I'm giving you a lot of different ideas here.
A lot of ideas. I'm going to take all.
It's good.
I'm just kidding.
It's great. The other stuff about getting started in comedy.
Yeah, right? I'm definitely going to follow your advice on that.
Yeah.
Feeling
and you can email me anytime, whatever, any questions.
Thanks.
You got a buddy now.
So sweet. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Rob Little, who will be at the Funny Bone on June 2nd, which is today, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, which is Sunday. Sunday is 18 and over. The rest are 21 and over. All right. I thought we'd plug that really quick.
Wow. Thanks. Can I just say my website's roblittle.com, and I'm roblittlecomic on Twitter, and I'm on Instagram and all those others.
Is there something specific you want people to look up?
roblittle.com's fine. It's got all my videos. YouTube's got all a bunch of videos, and yeah.
Which one?
I feel like I'm one of those bands where, like, even if I put up the best video, it's way better live. That's what I feel. I'm one of those, you know, like there's comics that are fun to watch on their videos, but I feel like mine's more interactive. Mm-hmm. So it's better to come see it live. I'm not saying my videos are bad. I'm just saying it's better. I feel like you ever see Bare Naked Ladies in concert? Their CDs are blah, but in live, they are super entertaining. I don't know. That's how I feel.
No, I feel you. I feel like everything's like that too.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
Yeah, it's better live. Anything.
It's always better live.
Yeah, I agree.
I am really excited. How often do you come to Omaha? Not often.
Once a year.
Okay.
Yep.
So this is the only time they'll have a chance.
But I've been playing here probably 15 years when the Funny Bone used to be at a different location.
Oh, so you actually know Omaha?
Oh yeah, I've been coming here a long time.
What's your favorite thing to do here?
I love that castle. I think that's super cool. It's the best zoo in the country.
Oh my gosh, obviously.
Everybody always says San Diego Zoo. Like when I lived in LA, I'm like, man, I'm telling you, that Omaha Zoo is better. It's so
isn't it?
I love it.
I think it was just voted best in the world.
It deserves it. It's awesome. I'm from Michigan, and the Detroit Zoo is actually really good too. But this one, I think, is phenomenal.
Do you ever visit the Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago?
No, that's a good one.
I mean, just like from coming from Omaha and growing up here and knowing this one, I went to a different one and it was like two ducks in a lake. And I'm like, oh,
okay.
It was more than that. But.
I just did the Denver one. And I think most of the animals were dead. Like, because like I posted pictures. They were like laying with their eyes wide open. And the other animals are like walking around.
They're actually
I mean,
just stuffed animals.
Just I think they died, and they're like, "Well, we gotta have something in there, so just leave it. We'll clean it up later." I don't know. It was horrible. Like this is in that.
Wait, what zoo were you talking about?
Denver.
Oh, okay.
Denver's.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
probably.
Maybe they were high.
How did I not think of that?
How did we not think?
Oh,
of that?
I just went to it. Have you been to a dispensary? Oh my God, it's so awesome. So. I'm not into drugs at all. I grew up, both my parents smoked weed my whole life. I've never done it. But I wanted to see this, right? I mean, it's like these humongous buildings. I went into this one. They have like a door guy that like checks your ID. So you feel like you're kind of going into a club, but everybody gets in. Like if you're ugly or not, you get in. Like it's no big deal.
You brought too many dudes.
Right? It could be a total sausage fest. It doesn't matter. But we went in and it's like just fields of weed in these like humongous warehouses. And the guy that I got like a private one because one of the guys that work at the Denver Improv is like super good friends with the guy that owns it. So he was like, yeah. And he's letting me like rub it. By the end of the thing, I'm like high just from touching some of the leaves. It was crazy. It's awesome. If you've never
I've seen
been
the
to one, you got to go check it out.
Because I went to Denver like right after they legalized and I didn't know what to expect. I just saw the outside. There's one on like every corner.
Yeah.
Literally every corner. But their economy is doing so great
because
of it.
Yeah, it's killing it.
I'm saying
it's
great.
Like,
it should be everywhere, even if you don't like believe in that. Our economy is going to like
boost. I'm not into anything like that, but I bought some edibles and they come in these like little like cases. So there's like a bunch of flavors and I'm a chubby guy that likes candy. So I was like, yeah, give me every one of the flavors. Right. And there's probably like 20 pills in each one or whatever. They're just little candies. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy, my buddy that works at the comedy club, he's like, just take one. And I'm like, really? Because like they're little.
You're already five in. Like, what?
What? Already cool. Took down the whole pill bottle. But he's like, yeah, just take one after the show. And I was like, all right. Okay. And I took it. And it wasn't for me. It's not.
I thought you were going to say, so I took three before the show.
Right. No,
didn't go well.
I didn't do it. I just tried it. And then I came back the next night and I gave them all to the staff. And they were like, I'm like their favorite now. They're like, he buys his edibles every time. And
I'm sure that stuff isn't cheap.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to try it. I didn't think it was going to be as. I don't respond well to that stuff. I get super paranoid and it's not for me.
Yeah, it's just not for some people, I guess.
That's a big misconception, too. A lot of people think comedians all do, like, drugs and everything. Because, like, in the 80s,
like,
that's what it was. Yeah, you know, like Robin Williams, those guys, yes, they did drugs. It mm-hmm. was super popular. Everybody did it. But now it's rare to kind of find a lot of guys that do that. Not really. It's not a big deal anymore, mm-hmm. you know?
Which is great. I love that.
It is great. It is great because it sucks when people think that that's what you're about. Because I'm a high-energy guy, so people are like, this guy does coke.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've never even been around it in my mm-hmm. whole life, so.
Well, didn't we just learn about Prince today?
It was some drugs,
opium
right?
overdose or something like that.
What kind?
Was it opium? Opioids.
I thought they were saying overdose. It was like similar to the stuff Michael Jackson was doing.
Is it?
Unofficially.
Just that so sucks. Many people were taken way too freaking early because yeah. of this stuff. Chris,
I remember Chris where I one. Was when Chris Farley died. I was just getting out of work and I pulled over and started crying because I was
yeah.
so
he was
it killed
national
me.
Treasure.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. People, like Belushi.
All of them. There's
right?
so many good ones.
Yeah.
Well, here's a guy. When I was starting out, and you probably won't remember who he is, but I'll say a movie. He was in Richard Jenny.
Okay.
He was in The Mask with Jim Carrey. He was like Jim Carrey's partner in The Mask. Platypus. Yeah, Platypus Man was his big, like that was one of his big bits. And
okay.
I think that was the name of one of his specials too, actually. He would do stuff, but he ended up getting so depressed that he ended up suicide and stuff. You know, like depression is a big deal. Who was the one that just died? Oh, Robin Williams was the one about depression. Mm-hmm. That happens to a lot of comics on the road because it's lonely life. Get ready for that because you're surrounded by all these people that love you in that 1 hour, and then you go back to the hotel and you're alone for the next 23 hours to the yeah. next show, you know? So a lot of people don't see that part of their life. So you got to like keep busy and have hobbies and write when you're inspired, you know? And
do you think that's why it's easy for comedians to fall into that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's super easy to fall into that. I mean, I've had bouts of that where I've been like, oh, this is the worst. And like, I work a lot of cruise ships. I just got named Carnival Comedian of the Year. So I was
nice.
Like,
congratulations.
I got Maxim Comedian of the Year, Carnival Comedian. And then a couple years ago, I got College Comic
Did
of the Year.
Did you say Maxim?
Too. Maxim Magazine, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I didn't realize that was a thing.
Yep.
Congratulations
Thanks.
On that.
Thanks.
College Comedian of the Year.
Yeah, I did a lot of colleges. I used to do a lot of them. I don't do any anymore. But, I love colleges, but colleges are a whole different beast for comedy because those kids, most of the students have never seen live comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you go to, I just thought of a really bad one. I can tell you. So most colleges you go to do, you know, the kids are, if they're enjoying it, that they're not showing it. They're just kind of watching, you
yeah.
know. And I had a really bad, basically one of the last colleges I did. I was University of Northern Iowa, UNI.
Okay.
And, they do two shows, and it's in this huge, like, three- or four-tiered theater. Huge theater. So the first show is for all the brand-new students. It's their first day. They don't know anybody. They just moved in. 17, 18-year-olds. I have to do a show. I already know this show is going to suck, right? Because they've never seen this. They're scared. They're away from home. Their first time. They don't know anybody. They're sitting next to people. When people don't know somebody, they're like afraid to laugh.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. they don't want nobody looking at them. Well, I get about halfway through the show, and I think somebody's heckling me. And that's a whole nother beast once you start learning that. But I think somebody's heckling me, and I can't make out what they're saying. I just keep hearing sounds and stuff. But I know it's directed towards me. I can just feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just stop the show, and I'm like, the hell are you saying? Like, I just kind of go off on them. This girl yells, she has Tourette's.
Oh, my God.
I literally just froze. It's the only time I think I've ever frozen on stage and didn't really know what to say. And I would just kind of look back, and all the rest of the crowd's kind of looking at me. But she makes these noises like, eep, 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 yeah. eep, whatever. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And, you know, I was like, all right, all right. I just kind of blew over it and went on with the show. Well, you can't get that out of your head.
Oh, absolutely not.
So that show ends. I don't even go out to greet the students because I'm already like, oh, no, you know. And I think I didn't make fun of her or anything. Well, the next show starts because that's for the 19-year-olds and up. This one's always fun.
Okay.
Because these kids have probably seen it like last year when they came. They got friends they're with and everything. So So this show starts. I can't get that out of my head. Mm-hmm. So I goes, oh, I had to tell him. I goes, you ain't gonna believe what happened to me the first show. I said, this girl had Tourette's and she was making all these noises. And then I said, but I thought it was cool because I thought she could go into any class, tell the teacher to F off, and there's nothing they can do about it, right? Which I thought was a pretty cool thing to do and say. And well, the next morning I get a call from my agent. I'm sitting at the airport and he's like, what the hell happened last night? And I'm like, what are you talking about? There was some girl with Tourette's. And I was like, yeah, it was crazy. And I'm like kind of doing what I'm telling you guys. He goes, she got wind that you made fun of her the second show, which I didn't.
Yeah.
I basically said what I just told you guys, making it out to be a cool thing. And I had it videotaped, and he said, her and her mother went to the dean of the school, tried to write you up, and then they went to the police station to try to give you, what do you call it? I forgot what it was called, but they tried to get him to, like, come and arrest me and give me a...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and everybody was like, nope, it's free speech, you can say. Then the school stuck up for me. They said he wasn't teasing you, he was trying to make it like it was a cool thing. Mm-hmm. But she was just bawling and devastated, and they're like, would you call her and apologize? And I was like, I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah,
but I don't want to have any problems, so I'm like, yes, I will call it, whatever. And they're like, well, we'll do a three-way. She wouldn't answer, and they were like trying to do like a, what do you call it, when we're all on the line together, you know? So
mm-hmm.
But I was like, I'll send her a letter, whatever you want me to do, you know?
Yeah.
But I thought, man, if she is that sensitive about it, she's 18, she's gone through this her whole life, she's going to really have a hard time in college. Because if you're sitting in class with her and she's making those noises constantly, that's going to be a tough. I mean, if you're, don't come to a comedy show then, or give me a heads up. You know, if you're at a comedy club and something like that happens, like they'll come up to you before the show and they go, hey, just letting you know there's somebody with Tourette's in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make fun of them or anything, all right? They're mm-hmm. probably going to be making noises or something. Fine. Good. Now I know, you know? But when you don't know, oh my God.
That's got to be like a nightmare.
It was a
nightmare. Do you ever stress nightmares about being on stage and like just bombing? Or something like that happens.
No, it's more the actual happening.
No, that's my life is my nightmare. So.
I've never had any dreams about that, about bombing or anything. More of mine are all positive about it. I try to stay way more positive about
it. That's so good, though.
Yeah.
Better than letting it eat you alive, I guess.
Here's another weird thing people don't think about is a lot of times you get a lot of deaf people in the crowds. And they'll either... The comedy clubs are actually, by law, have to provide a signer for them. So the signer is always on stage with you. So you're doing your jokes. And I'm like kind of physical on stage too. So having somebody standing behind you and signing is very distracting because the crowd is, they're kind of not really paying attention to you. Or if you say a word that they want to see signed, you know, if like you cuss or something, they want to see that, you know.
Yeah.
So you kind of do all that stuff. But man, when you get deaf people laughing, it's the best, because it's just really like loud and they don't know and their hands are up in the air and it's fun, it's cool. Because I've had to do shows where it was just all deaf people.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's weird. You're gonna do a lot of weird shows, a lot of weird ones. That one.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's
Can
fun.
You tell I'm excited?
It's interesting, you know.
Yeah.
It's a different. It's hard to be bored with this life, you know.
And you have
it's
all
easy
these
to be depressed, but it's hard to be bored.
Yeah, you have all these stories now that you can come tell people that want to.
Yeah, and I don't even think about them until somebody kind of starts reminding me of some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you just try to block it out?
The bad ones, yeah. But you can't. The bad ones are the ones that stay. Like, you could crush every single night, get standing ovations every night, and then you have that one show. You could be crushing in a whole show. And there's one person sitting there just glaring at you. That's all you can pay attention to because you're like, why is that? Everybody else is laughing. Why isn't this guy? You know?
Yeah.
So that's the other comic calling me that's with me this week. Brent Terhune. He's awesome. Another
is he
funny.
Opening for you?
Yeah. I bring him a lot. There's two guys I bring with me a lot.
Who's the other guy?
Brent Terhune out of Indianapolis is the guy I'm bringing with me this week. And then the other guy I bring a lot with me is Tommy Ryman. And he did Last Comic Standing last year, and he made it, like, I think to the finals. But so he's doing really well now, so he's kind of starting to get more headlining spots, so I can't bring him anymore. But that's a good thing. No, it's fine. He's
okay.
Yeah. He was I going to say? That's another cool thing is if you get hooked up with a comedian, this happened with me. I don't know if you know who Pablo Francisco is. Mm-hmm. He was on Mad TV for a little while and stuff. I ended up hooking up with him when I first was kind of coming up, and he would take me on the road with him everywhere, which is cool because then you're getting into all these clubs that you probably never could have got in on your own. And I learned a lot, you know, from him. He was playing all the best clubs at the time, so it was really cool. And then he was also one of those kind of comics, though, that had issues with he had his own demons that mm-hmm. he had to deal with. So a lot of times he wouldn't show up to shows, and I would have to headline. And these people were there to see him. It makes you stronger because you're like, oh, I better start working on some new material.
You can just not show up to shows? How does that work?
When I was with him, he just wouldn't show up, and the club would be like, yeah, he's back at the hotel room. He ain't going to be here. And I'm like, well, I'm not saying that. I'm just going to go up and do an hour. Yeah. If I have it, or stretch what I can do, and then at the end just go, oh, he's not, you know, he's sick or something. You know, you don't tell him that up front because they'll be pissed and they're not going to listen to you.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Yikes. It's like a strategy game.
You don't have to worry about any of that yet, though. Okay. You just need to worry about writing some jokes and going up and starting.
All right.
Yeah.
Oof. Now that I'm officially terrified, I'm just kidding.
if it scares you, then don't do it. But if it doesn't, then definitely try.
Well, I thought if it scares you, that's a good thing. Then you should do it.
I'm giving you the idea of all the stuff that's tough about it. Traveling, you're going to miss tons of family functions. You're going to miss holidays. Like one time I was on the road and I had to miss Thanksgiving. It was the first holiday. Oh. And so I was in Minneapolis. And I remember the hotel put me up, and I went down to – they're like, oh, we'll let you have Thanksgiving dinner down at the thing. So I go down there, and it's all families. I'm by myself sitting in a booth eating. And then I start walking back to my room, and that song came on all by myself. And I start bawling, and then I immediately start laughing because I'm like, this is a scene in a movie right now. Totally like, is. This is awesome. But it's going to happen. You're going to miss out friends, kids, like – birthday parties, games, whatever. But you're giving it up because it's your dream, you know, you love it. So
oof.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mom and Dad. I will not be around anymore.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Anything else?
When you're good, that's a good thing. You're working then. Mm-hmm. So
that's fair.
I don't know. Come out this weekend, please. I mean, it's super fun.
We'll be there on Sunday.
Cool.
What's up? Yeah. So we're talking to Rob Little. He'll be at the Funny Bone tonight, which is June 2nd at 7. Is that right? Hold on. I have it written down. At 7:30.
7:30 tonight.
And then tomorrow at 7:30 and 9:45.
Yep.
Yeah, I said that right.
Yep.
And then 4th is at 7 and then 9:30. And then 5th is at 7.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to look it up.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing two on Friday, two on Saturday. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, and this is a three-comic format, so there will be an MC. It's Heather Jones, and she does about 10, 15.
And she's local.
Local, and then my buddy Brent from Indianapolis will do 20 to 30, and then I'll go up and do about an hour.
Cool.
Yep.
Really, really excited.
Yeah, it'll be awesome.
Can't wait to see it on Sunday. Thank you so much.
Thanks
again
for having me.
In. Honestly.
I appreciate
such
it.
Such a treat.
Thanks.
So that was Rob Little. He'll be at the Funny Bone all this week. And thank you so much for listening. I am your host, Marty Vaughn, with MavRadio.fm.